The scripture is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read a little more than the text. I'm going to start at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. In other words, I hope that you will grieve with hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The text is the next three verses. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Oh boy, yes. With a loud command. And with the voice of the archangel. And with a trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Yes. And therefore, encourage one another with these words. Thank God for his word. Well, let me say first why I've got to get used to these bright lights, and I can't see you, but I guess I'll be all right. Excuse me. Okay. Why am I preaching this? Well, I've just been reading Matthew and Mark, and in both of them, Jesus talks about coming again, and in both of them, he says, and you don't know when, so be ready. Be aware that I'm coming again. And I had to admit to myself, you know, I haven't been all that aware that he's coming again. How often had I thought about it? So I'm preaching it partly for me, to remind me he's coming again. And maybe you have the same thought as I have. Haven't thought much about that lately. Well, let's think about it tonight and become more aware he's coming again. Long, long time ago, there was a man in my study. I don't remember what his business was, but I think, and he says, Christian Reformed Church, what's that? Never heard of it. So I'm taking a deep breath so I can start explaining to him, and instead he starts firing questions at me. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? And the last one he asked me was, what do you believe about Jesus' second coming? Do you believe in it? Well, of course we do. And then he said, a personal coming or an impersonal coming? Personal. I passed the test with him. He and I agreed about all these things. But he had a good sense. This is one of the Christian teachings. And I want to share this Christian teaching tonight. Now, in order to get the right start, my beginning in the outline is, what question is he answering here? What question? And it's about those who fall asleep, or about those who sleep in death. That's what he said in verse 13. I want to talk about that. Now, I want to lay that down and then say, I do not plan to talk about secret rapture, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation, pre-tribulation, left behind. I'm not going to take time for that. But I'm setting this up to say, look, this is what he's talking about. You know, I think what I say is obvious enough. If this is what he's talking about, then our Christians, and they're dear Christian people, they take the Bible seriously, who are all into all this pre-trib and all this dispensational millennialism, have to admit, this text isn't the great basis for their teaching that they think it is. It's not talking about that. It's talking about, what about Christians who have already died? So I'm not going to go into that, but if you get into these discussions and read this stuff, I want to say, look, this is what he's talking about, and let that guide your thinking about this text. So, it's about those who have fallen asleep. We read from Corinthians. The issue in Corinth was, yes, there will be a resurrection. Jesus rose and believers will rise. In Thessalonica, that's not the question. He doesn't have to develop that. That's true. In Thessalonica, the situation is this. These dear Christians were sure Jesus was due back right away. Tonight, tomorrow, the next day, right away. That's what they picked up. And then days went by, and weeks went by, and months went by, but they still had this, it's got to be real soon. But it took long enough, some of the Christians died. And at least some of the members at Thessalonica Church were very upset. What about them? Will we ever see them again? Are they just plain gone? What's the deal with Christians who have died? See, that's the question that he's answering here. All right, Paul answers this. He starts out basically, let me remind you, there will be a resurrection. This is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. You're wondering about him? When Jesus comes back, he's going to bring them. You'll see them. And then in verse 16, he makes the point, and those who died are going to rise first. We'll get to that. Believers are going to rise. That's the first point. Now, their special question, he says to them, and they're not going to miss anything of Jesus' return. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:15. Those who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. So maybe his coming is so soon that we'll be those who are left on earth when Jesus comes back. And he says here, if that's who you are not going to get ahead of the ones who have died. No, no. When Jesus comes back, the believers who are still alive are going to have to wait. I have no idea how long. It should be very short. They have to wait until the believers who have died are risen and their bodies are transformed. Wait for them. Okay, when they are present, then the believers who are still alive and the believers who have just been raised will rise to meet the Lord. So you were wondering about those who have died. They're going to go up to meet the Lord with those Christians who are still living. So he says, you were grieving about that, you're worried about that. Comfort each other and encourage each other. The Christians who have died aren't going to miss a thing of the return of Jesus. So that's the question. That's how he answered it. But this is Paul. And Paul has a way in his letter saying, you know, I brought this up, but while I bring this up, let me talk about it some more and talk about some related things. So he goes on to talk about his return. That's why that's in the outline. Going to talk about his return, and I see four things that he tells us about how Jesus will return. First thing about how he will return, personal, physical, real. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 4:16? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. That sounds like personal, doesn't it? Physical, real. Like my acquaintance asked me in my study. Let me quote some more scripture here. Jesus has ascended, His apostles are watching him, an angel appears and talks to them. And this is Acts 1, verse 11. This same Jesus, this real, personal, physical Jesus, will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus spoke to this too. Mind you, he's on trial before the high priest, and this is what he said. This is Matthew 26, 64. Jesus said, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. So Jesus says he will come, then of course we'll be caught up to meet the Lord. A real personal event. This is not symbolic, not mythical, it's factual. Okay, now let me take it just a little bit farther. Scripture makes a point, therefore, about his return. We will see him. That's obvious, isn't it, from what we've had? A visible return. I want to make the point, when he comes back, you won't have to wonder if something is happening. And I'm taking time for this because Jesus back in Matthew 24 said, I'm going to come back. And if somebody says to you, the Messiah is over here somewhere, come and see, don't even look. Somebody else says, the Messiah is over there somewhere, come and see, don't even look. Because Jesus says, when I come, nobody's going to wonder. Everybody's going to see it at once. That's the point I want to make about see him. Matthew 24, 30, this is what Jesus said. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power, power and great glory. We'll see him. Now, right about this time, most things written on this passage say, but the world is a ball and it's big. How's that going to happen? And of course, the last 50 years, sure enough, they bring up television. It doesn't say in the Bible how he will do it. It just says he will. Look, folks, we're talking about the Son of God, the one by whom all things are made, the one for whom all things were made, the one who upholds all things. Don't worry about it. He can handle it when he comes back. 6 billion, 7 billion, 8 billion, I don't know how many people we're talking about, will see him. There'll be no question about it. It is he. It is he who is coming back. We'll see him. Okay, another feature, sudden and unexpected. Now that's something that says, don't try to predict just when. You all are thinking about, yeah, we've heard them, haven't we? Well, let me answer that by quoting 5 Bible verses in a row in which it is asserted, sudden and unexpected. Therefore, don't try to tell me or anybody else that's the day he will come. Listen to these scriptures. Matthew 24, 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. You don't know. Matthew 24, 44. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Unexpected. Matthew 25, 13. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. I'm getting the point across, huh? 2 Peter 3, 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And thieves don't make appointments ahead of time, do they? Like a thief. And here in the text, the suddenness of it, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Impressive, majestic, sudden. Here he is. Wow. And it's out of this that in Matthew 24, Jesus makes a point of saying, therefore, You're not going to get an hour ahead of time, a day ahead of time, a week ahead of time warning that he's coming. No warning. Therefore, says Jesus, as we read, be ready. Keep watch, because we don't know will it be. Be ready. And the major conclusion of that is, you better not be somebody who says of his faith, I hope so. I try. Better be sure for yourself out of the Word of God. Say, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. Be ready. Because once he has come, there'll be no further chance, quick a minute, to repent of your sins and confess him and ask forgiveness and say, be my... Done! No more opportunity. Too late. Because his coming will be sudden and unexpected. Okay, the next thing we have in the scripture here is with power, glory, and majesty. Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4. This is written to the church in Thessalonica. Where's that? Well, you know where Greece is? I trust you do. Not far from Italy. And north in Greece is where you'll find the city of Thessalonica. And across the north of what I'll call Greece, not accurate, I know, but was the Roman East-West Highway, Via Ignatia. And it went through Thessalonica. So the people of Thessalonica had seen the general and his army come through Thessalonica. The Roman army, the most powerful military machine on earth, the conquerors of the world, these competent, sure soldiers. And they didn't mind impressing when they went through. They had banners, they had trumpets, they had drums, they could shout. Just imagine the tramp, tramp, tramp as this army, division after division after division, goes marching by. They were impressed. Now, Paul's talking to them. He doesn't have to mention, they knew this. Now, as impressed as you are with Caesar's armies coming through, just take that whole thing much higher, much bigger when you think about Jesus coming back again. Power, glory, majesty. If you're into classical music at all, I'll just put a little footnote here. Ottorino Respighi, Italian composer, wrote The Pines of Rome. Anybody recognize? Good music. The fourth section of The Pines of Rome is The Pines of the Appian Way. And Mr. Respighi deliberately wrote this to say, now, I want you to see the general and his victorious army coming up toward Rome on the Appian Way. And he pictures this in music. And believe me, it gets loud. Very impressive. And once again, from your that, stretch your thinking to what it will mean when Jesus returns, power and glory. A shout, it says, designed to be heard around the world. Verse 16. The great trumpet sounds, the Son of God returning with excitement. Now, maybe this is no question at all for you, but let me assert it. This is going to happen. I'm not telling you a story. This is going to happen. So said the Son of God. Maybe before we die. I don't know, maybe. Every Christian will see it. It's going to happen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The word there is a commanding shout. And if you live with that word a little bit, You say, oh, hey, that reminds me of John chapter 11. Jesus is standing before the tomb of Lazarus, and he shouts, Lazarus, come forth. That was a commanding shout, wasn't it? Well, think a little more. John chapter 5, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice. Whoo, what a shout. All that are in the tombs will hear his voice and shall come out. We will be impressed with that shout. And it says, with the trumpet of God. I mean, you watch television, maybe you've been in a program, and somebody is going to show up, so we have fanfare, right? And the brass is blaring. Well, that's the idea here. This is a fanfare. The celebrity of all celebrities is going to come. Here he is, say the trumpets. And then, and then we see him. Then we see him. And then, by his power, resurrections, the dead come forth, millions. By his power, he's transforming his people that their bodies will never die anymore, never suffer anymore, resurrection bodies, by his power. And then, join him in the great procession in the sky. And the procession grows and grows and grows. It's not thousands, not millions. Far bigger than that, procession proceeding across the sky as his people are joining him, are with him in his victory parade. But you know, that also means there'll be people who don't. The ones who kept postponing, the ones who had whatever pet peeves they had about religion, whatever, they'll be looking up, be very impressed. They missed it. But Christians will be with him. Be just enthralled with the event and enthralled with the leader of this event, just full of amazement. It's going to happen. He's coming, and he's coming grandly, and he's coming to judge the living and the dead, and he's coming so his kingdom, peace, love, truth, joy will be eternally established. Yes. People, that's good news. That's good news. First time, humbly, quietly, subject to rejection. But not the second time. Oh no. Overwhelming power. Well, a couple comments under the heading, Rejoice in Your Ruling Returning Lord. I keep going back to Matthew 24 and 25, partly because I've been reading it recently, but partly because it's parallel. In Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus is the one who says, now don't forget about it. Let this be part of what's in the back of your mind. I am coming again. So, you know, many, many years before that, God said, Noah, you see that rainbow? That's a reminder that I am promising never to send such a destructive worldwide flood again. Okay? Jesus is the one who said that he would come on the clouds. Well, Michigan has an advantage in that, lots of clouds. And it's for you and me to say, sometimes, see the clouds? That's reminding me of something. That's reminding me that my Lord is coming back. And he said he will be coming on the clouds. To be aware of him and his coming will affect who we are, the way we live. When I was that age, I thought I was kind of crass when one of my peers, you know, another kid in school, would say, yeah, I said to my ma, I want to go there. Is it okay? And my ma said, if Jesus comes back, then will you feel good about it? Was that wrong? Was it wrong? That's right. And it's something to go along with us. Yes, he's coming. Yes, I want to be ready. I want to come back again to, and after he has come back, from that moment on, no more opportunity to be saved. It'll be too late. And this grabs me, and I have a feeling it grabs a lot of you in the same way, because I have a list of people for whom I pray every day. Lord, I don't think they're Christians, and I care about these people. Lord, please that they come to Christ. I bet a lot of you are saying the same thing, aren't you? But on the other hand, when I think about it, I say, Lord Jesus, surely there's been enough cruelty and murder and violence and vengeance and all the rest of that. Please come back. And then, hey, oh yeah, but please hurry up and save these people before you come back. You feel the same thing, I trust. We need to know for ourselves to be ready. And there's an urgency about this as we pray for and care about people we know who need to come to Christ. We're very quick to pray about somebody who had a hip replacement and so. How about the church is praying for these someones for whom we are concerned? One more thing, and I picked this up again from Jesus, who said, be faithfully busy for him, which is also the point in Thessalonians. Once again, the Thessalonians are sure Jesus is due back any day. Well, then why plant your crop? He can be back anyway. And why stock the shelves in your store? He's going to be back anyway. And Paul said to them, look, you don't know just which day he is coming, number one. And number two, be serving him in the location where he has put you and be about the work he has given you. That's part of being ready for his coming. Get to work, he said. Paul has put us where he wants us. And as we are filling that, as people who love him and want to do it his way, we are carrying on for him. And we keep right on with that until he comes. And the last thing in rejoicing in your ruling, returning Lord is this. We said in the creed, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Biblical, of course. What's the right hand? That's the control center of the universe, at the right hand of God. That's where our Lord is. And I don't know about you, but we had all this political stuff for month after month after month, busy reminding us of how many things are wrong, how many things could go wrong internally and internationally. Did it get to you? It got to me sometimes. And then got to come back to say, no, he ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So who's the governor of the universe? The governor of this world, his name is Jesus, the Son of God. He's in charge. So yes, he said to us, now you be responsible, you fill in your place, you do what you should, you exert the influence you can and should, but don't forget, ultimately, he says, I am in charge. And don't you start to worry as though you are in charge. You are not in charge. Jesus, the Son of God, is in charge. He said, I will not leave you. I will not forget you. I will be with you always until the day I call you home. Fear not. Be not anxious. Can you think of anybody else you'd rather have in charge? Fear not, be not anxious. In the last verse of the Bible, this is my concluding sentences, it says, He that testifies these things says, yea, I come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the reassurance that there's going to be a final day. Thank you for the reassurance. This will be the ushering in of the eternity to the glory of God, the fulfillment and joy of your people. Thank you that all the horrible, gruesome, difficult, painful things we hear about will be done. And the kingdom will have come. Thank you. Help us to have this in mind in our daily devotions. He's coming again. And that's good. He's in charge. We will trust him. We will seek to be faithful. We will feel the urgency of reaching people while it is still day, before he comes back. Please, Lord, help that. And help us sometime just to see the picture that we're given here on the clouds with a great company, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Oh, great, great. He's coming again to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.